Canto 3, Chapter 20, and we'll start with Text 42. Title of the chapter is Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura. And going back, the conversation began with Vidura being requested by Krishna. Before Krishna departed, he told Uddhava, soon Vidura is going to come, and please instruct Vidura to go hear from Maitreya. So Vidura came, spoke with Uddhava. Uddhava said, Krishna wants you to speak with Maitreya, so he went to see Maitreya. And the meeting between the two is very wonderful. Perfectly perfected soul, Maitreya, in his association with another great personality, more than great personality, incarnation of, or manifestation of Yamaraj, one of the great Mahajans. So the discussion is very elevated. Deep and interesting. So the first topic of all topics that pick a topic, he wanted to hear about creation. He wanted to hear specifically about the Lord and his part in that creation, because the Bhagavatam's teaching is the Vedas' teaching, which is there's a source of everything, and that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he wanted to hear from this perfected soul, Maitreya, what is the Lord's involvement in creation. So details and details are given. The middle part of this Canto 3 is all about that. Brahma's appearance from Garbhadaksha Vishnu, his pendant, his self, instructions from the Lord how to carry out the creation he creates, and now we're hearing how he's populating the creation through expansions from his own body. We'll read a little bit and then we'll circle back to this theme, so that we can understand the Lord's part in the process of creation and Brahma's part in the process of creation. There's 10 topics, and these are covering the first two. The first, Sarga and Visarga. Those are the first two out of 10 topics. Visarga is what the Lord does, and then Visarga was what Brahma does after what the Lord does. So he takes... Brahma takes everything given generously by the Personality of Godhead to Brahma, and Brahma takes it the next step. But he only does what he does under the authority of and direction of and the empowerment of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. So text 42. Recognizing himself to be full of desire and energy, that's creative energy, the worshipful Brahma, the creator of the living entities, evolved from his own invisible form, from his navel, the hosts of sadhyas and pitas. And purport short, these sadhyas and pitas are invisible forms of departed souls, and they are also created by Brahma, text 43. The pitas themselves of the invisible body, comma, the source of their existence, It is through the medium of this invisible body that those well-versed in the rituals offer oblations to the sadhyas and pitas, parentheses, in the form of their departed ancestors, on the occasion of Shraddha. Purport. Shraddha is a ritualistic performance observed by the followers of the Vedas. There is a yearly occasion of 15 days when ritualistic religionists follow the principle of offering oblations to departed souls. Thus, those fathers and ancestors who, by freaks of nature, might not have a gross body for material enjoyment can again gain such bodies due to the offering of Shraddha, oblations by their descendants. The performance of Shraddha, or offering oblations with prasad, is still current in India, especially in Gaya, where oblations are offered at the lotus feet of Vishnu in a celebrated temple. Because the Lord is thus pleased with the devotional service of the descendants, by His grace, He liberates the condemned souls of forefathers who do not have gross bodies, and He favors them to again receive a gross body for development of spiritual advancement. Paragraph. Unfortunately, by the influence of Maya, a conditioned soul employs the body he gets for sense gratification, forgetting that such an occupation may lead him to earn. The devotee of the Lord, or one who is in Krishna consciousness, however, does not need to perform such ritualistic ceremonies as Shraddha, because he is always pleasing the Lord. Therefore, his fathers and ancestors who might have been in difficulty are automatically relieved. The vivid example is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj requested Lord Nrsingadev to deliver his sinful father, who had so many times offended the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord replied that in a family where a Vaishnava like Prahlad is born, not only his father, but his father's father and their fathers up to 14 father back. This should be further back. 14 generations are automatically delivered. The conclusion, therefore, is that Krishna consciousness is the sum total of all good work for the family, for society, and for all living entities. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author says that a person fully conversant with Krishna consciousness does not perform any rituals, because he knows that simply by serving Krishna in full Krishna consciousness, all rituals are automatically performed. I'm going to read a little bit more, primarily speak about this. Text 44. Then, Lord Brahma, by his ability to be hidden from vision, created the siddhas and vidyadharas and gave them that wonderful form of his own as antardhana. Antardhana means those living creatures can be perceived to be present, but they cannot be seen by vision. Text 45. One day, Brahma, the creator of the living entities, beheld his own reflection in the water. And, admiring himself, he evolved Kimpurushas, as well as the Kinnaras, out of that reflection. The Kim Purushas and Kinras took possession of that shadowy form left by Brahma. That is why they and their spouses sing his praises by recounting his exploits at every daybreak. Purport. The time, early in the morning, 1.5 hours before sunrise, is called Brahma Muhurta. During this Brahma Muhurta, spiritual activities are recommended. Spiritual activities performed early in the morning have a greater effect than at any other part of the day. Text 47. Once Brahma lay down with his body stretched at full length, he was very concerned that the work of creation had not proceeded apace, meaning quite quickly. And in a sullen mood, he gave up that body too. O dear Vidura, the hair that dropped from that body transformed to snakes. And even while the body crawled along with its hands and feet contracted, there sprang from it ferocious serpents and nagas with their hoods expanded. One day, Brahma, the self-born, the first living creature, felt as if the object of his life had been accomplished. At that time, he evolved from his mind the Manus, who promote the welfare activities of the universe. The self-possessed creator, that's Brahma, gave them his own human form. On seeing the Manus, those who had been created earlier, the demigods, the Gandharvas, and so on, applauded Brahma, the Lord of the universe. And then comes some prayers. We'll start tomorrow with text 51. First, the big picture. The big picture is we spoke a little bit about this on Sunday, about time. Time is cyclical, the Vedic picture of time, Kala Chakra, the cycle of time, the circle of time. And time moves matter, it moves everything, it moves us, it moves everything within the created realm. And in the cycles of time, there's creation, there's maintenance, there's dissolution, pralaya, there's a resting period, and then again there's creation and resting period. It just keeps, time keeps moving things. So, with that in mind, time is moving things. So, the statement here is, twice in the verses that we read, Brahma, the creator of living entities. In this case, living entities doesn't mean the soul, because sometimes the language, the living entity, means the soul. In this case, it doesn't mean Brahma creates souls. Rather, he creates the bodies. He doesn't create all bodies, he does some of that through the agency of the Prajapatis, but some of them he doesn't even take the assistance of Prajapatis. He just directly manifests from his own body. These are quite exceptional powers. Who can do that? Create an entity from a body, from your body. Not without the assistance of mother, father, just voila. Very powerful. He's powerful in many, many ways. So, the starting point of where I began reading text 42, it speaks of the siddhas and the pitas. So we know from many times Prabhupada would speak about the residence of siddha loka. Residence of siddha loka. Siddha means they have yogic perfections. And one of those yogic perfections that they exercise a lot is they travel anywhere they want through mystic power, the siddha of travel. We know that Kardama Muni, he had mystic power. He created a flying city and he traveled wherever he liked. We know that Kuvera had a Pushpaka Vimana that later his brother Ravana stole, and he used it to go anywhere he liked. He didn't have a steering wheel. He just willed it to go somewhere and off it went. So siddhas have that capacity. Now, to some people, oh, that's mythology. But there are mystic powers. Prabhupada liked to speak about every living entity has mystic powers. Like, you know, one of the examples he would give is your fingernail. Your fingernail grows, it's like bone, but what is it connected to? It's a mystic power. He would speak like that. There's no scientific or biological medical explanation of why fingernails grow. And other things. We all have the existing mystic powers, and yogis, they know the art of, through austerity and other principles, primarily connecting the super soul, get powers that ordinary people don't have, but they have the potential to have, they just don't know how to get them. Prabhupada told the story when he was a small boy. He heard a music box or a megaphone or something like that inside playing music. Because he was just a child, had never seen anything like that before. So behind, the point is, behind the machine of material existence, there's a person. And the machine of material existence is very complex. And there are powers that make it happen. We can't see. So, and that there's persons who possess those powers. So yogis know how to access those powers. There's a science, and there's a qualification to understand the science, and once they understand the science and know the science, they can perform, they can walk on water and fly in the air, they can become big and they can become small, and they can attain something from a distant place, and it looks to ordinary people like magic, but it's simply, Prabhupada's explanation, manipulation of subtle laws of nature. They know the subtle laws, they know how to manipulate the subtle laws, and they can do something that looks like wow. But it's material. So back to the text. There's siddhas that have the capacity to travel or manifest mystic siddhis, and then there's the pitas. And pitas are forefathers or ancestors. And what we're hearing from the Bhagavatam is they have forms that are not visible. And what's a form that's not? It's not a ghost, because that was the previous little section. We know about ghosts. Ghosts are living entities that die in an intoxicated state or commit suicide or something like that. They mutilate the body so it's no longer fit for habitation, and the body drops. The body becomes a dead body, but the soul is not ready to move on to the next situation. So they have just a subtle body with no gross body. That's what a ghost is. And it's painful, because they still have desire, but they have no way of fulfilling the desire, so they want to inhabit the body of someone else. They possess someone so they can fulfill their desires. That's what ghosts do. And then people that are asleep, or people that are drunk, or people that are in very, very covered consciousness, they're more susceptible to being haunted by a ghost, or inhabited or possessed by a ghost. Anyway, that's what a ghost is. And so the citizen Pitas doesn't give an explanation how the distinction is, but they have forms but are not visible. And part of, there's a further explanation, part of Vedic culture is the descendants of those, as Prabhupada is saying, it's a freak of nature, very unusual. So the usual is, when someone departs their body, they immediately go to a situation. That's the standard norm. But there is a place called Pitriloka, where Pitris go. Ancestors reside. Now, in the Bhagavatam 5th canto, there was just a little sharing. I think it was Portland, somewhere in the course of my travel. We were discussing from Bhagavad Gita, different verses, and the topic came up about Pitriloka, where is it? And one person in particular was concerned that my grandfather, he would regularly perform this ritual. We're hearing something about it, the 15-day period of time is most auspicious, although it can be done at other times. And where Shraddha is offered to the Pitris, and then his father did. So his question was, now that I'm a devotee of Krishna, should I continue to do that too? Because I don't want to be disrespectful to my grandfather and my father, or to speak of the ancestors. And if I do, then am I going to go to Pitriloka instead of Goloka? Because that's what it said. Pitrinyanti Pitrivrataha. If you worship the ancestors in Pitriloka, that's where you go. So it was a double-edged question. So I spent some time inquiring, because to me it's been a mystery too. What is this Pitriloka thing? Where is it? Who's there? Vaz, did you receive this? I sent this information out. Was it forwarded? No. That's the second thing. So, the location of Pitriloka is odd. It's below Patala Loka, below the lowest of material planets, and it's above the Garbhadak ocean. and the persons who reside there, according to the Bhagavatam, are pious. To go to Pitraloka, you have to be pious. Just like to be a Siddha, you have to be pious. You have mystic powers. And to be a Pitri, you have to be pious. But the worship of the ancestors is to be done by the sons. Somehow, for some reason, daughters can't do. But the sons, descendants of that Pitri that goes to Pitraloka, is to offer Shraddha during that period of time. And by offering Shraddha, what the Bhagavatam, fifth canto, says is, then they can enjoy. And if their Shraddha is not offered, then they suffer. Now the detail here is, they have invisible forms, but they want forms. And so by offering Shraddha, which is prasad, Vishnu prasad, then the Lord is pleased. The Lord then awards them bodies, and then they can enjoy heavenly type of happiness. The Bhagavatam goes on to say, and if that happens for many generations, then they can again take birth in the dynasty that's been offering them Shraddha. They come back to earth and loop back around again and leave Pitraloka and come to where their ancestors, the dynasty is, and they can enjoy. And then the worshippers, they may go to that Pitraloka. If they worship for the sake of being with their ancestors, they may go there. But a Vaishnava, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wasn't a ritualistic Brahmana. He was a Vaishnava. His father was a Vaishnava. But he went to Gaya to offer Pinda to his departed father. So, should Vaishnavas do this or not? The indication that Prabhupada is giving here is no need, or even stronger, do not. I didn't go so far as to find out, is there in Hari Bhakti Vilas a ritual for offering Shraddha as Vaishnavas do? Because, gee whiz, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, that was Ishwara Puri. So it would seem, I don't know the answer, it would seem that there's a Vaishnava process as opposed to a ritualistic process, but I don't know the answer, if there is or if there isn't, to offer Shraddha in a way that Vaishnavas would do. Certainly there is a procedure in a funeral for a Vaishnava, departed Vaishnava, to offer Vishnu Prasad to the departed Vaishnava. That's like, you know, upon death. But what about the next year and the next year and the next year? I wouldn't be surprised if there is such a ritual, but it's done in such a way that is done there of Krishna or Vishnu. So it's exactly as Prabhupada is saying here. You worship Vishnu, and automatically benefit goes to generations of forefathers, your immediate family and generations before you and after you. That's described in the King Riga story. You read that in Krishna book or Bhagavatam. If those Shraddha, if one is not a Vaishnava and the Shraddha is not performed, then one continues to suffer. The Bhagavatam says, fifth canto, that it may be that the presiding personality of Pitraloka, you know who that is? Yamaraj. And he's assisted by Aryama. And Yamaraj may award one of the Pitris the function of being his assistant, one of the Yamadutas. And it's for that reason the Yamadutas are really down on people that don't do proper rituals, like offering shraddha to the forefathers, and they punish them. Get back. Bhagavatam speaks like that. So, very interesting. Now, an important principle of all of this is, who decides who's going to be a siddha, and who's going to be a charana, and who's going to be a pitri, and who's going to be a this and a that? It has to do with this movement of time. The movement of time brings, it activates guna and karma. Because during cosmic annihilation, the gunas are manifest, but they're not manifest. Prakriti, that's unmanifest, has modes that are dormant. And when they're activated, then they're active. And karma of the living entity is dormant. But when time touches the living entity and the modes of nature touch the living entity, then they manifest forms that karma and guna are activated. So if one becomes a siddha, one becomes a pitri, or whatever it is that one becomes, it's because that's where they left off. Like going to sleep. And when you wake up, oh, I'm so-and-so, and then you start your day. And death is like sleep, and the cosmic annihilation is like super sleep. Susupti. It's like anesthesia. And when the anesthesia wears off, you wake up, and then you resume your activity. But if you don't have a body, then you get a body. That's what Brahma does. He provides bodies. And then you resume your activity. Very sensible. Do it again. From Sunday. When time is withdrawn by the possessor of time, or the controller of time is Lord Vishnu, the whole thing collapses. It goes back to its unmanifest state. And tick, 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 tick. It's time for creation again. And then it comes to being, and living entities just resume where they left off. They may not have a memory of where they left off, but their guna and karma is activated, and that they do according to guna and karma. And then it's free will can choose what their next karma is going to be by their actions and deliberations. So there's mention, just a little bit more from what we read. The Kim Purushas and Kinaras, the location of those are in this below the heavenly region, but above the earthly region. Bhuvar and Svargalokas. So Svargaloka is heaven, and they're not exactly residents of heaven, but they're in a superior position above human, the earthly region. So that's where they reside. And they appreciate that Brahma provides the shadowy form. Prabhupada uses the word shadow, not just like a place of darkness, but a reflection. So it says he looked at his reflection in water, and he evolved the Kim Purushas and Kinaras out of that reflection. Abhasa is the Sanskrit term. abhasa reflection. And here is shadowy form, but it's just the same, abhasa reflection. And they took possession of that reflection, and that was the form that they have, the reflection of Brahma. And they honor him every Brahma Muhurta. So we hear something about Brahma Muhurta. That's not precise, but Prabhupada's expression is an hour and a half before the sun rises. And that's when spiritual activity is ideal. So get up early. Do your chanting early and your worship and everything. And then, just carrying on, we hear Brahma has the ability, just by his will to do so. He can give up a body, and then he has another body. So he did that. He gave up a body. And the body that he gave up, when some hairs dropped and nagas came, serpents. And then, from his mind, Brahma produced the manus. And the manu comes after some of these demigods and personalities mentioned earlier, just discussed. And they appreciated, wow, Brahma, you're good. And they're going to offer some prayers to him. So we've heard, let me just, this last section, some of the from his own body things to fill up the universe that he just created at works of Brahma. So it's this sarga. The sarga has these two functions. The elements and the universal form, the blueprint, and the bricks and steel and mortar, the ingredients of creation, the creative potency, self-realization. Krishna gives him, or Lord Vishnu gives him, everything he needs in order to do the whole job, and then he does it. He builds a universe. Very, very, very complicated. Those of you that are involved in this, expanding this building, it's very complicated. What to speak of a universe? I'm just hearing a lecture Prabhupada was saying, anybody who has undertaken the work of construction, it's a headache. It's very, very, very complicated. And it's true, it's very complicated. To do it right, it's very complicated. What to speak of building a universe? Gee. But you build a temple, or Brahma builds the universe, because it's for the benefit of living entities. I mentioned where there's these bodies, the living entities that have no form. So that's the Pitris. When they're given a form, there's a purpose. The Lord's purpose is so they can carry out the activities of self-realization. Unfortunately, many people, when they have a body, they don't use the body for the purpose. They use it for sense gratification and get more entangled. So the Bhagavatam wants to lift us to a higher consciousness and use what we have for self-realization purposes. Let's see if there's any discussion. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Question you were saying, after one leaves the body, the soul immediately passes on to the next
situation. Yes.
I'm just trying to understand, or need your help, understand the description of the hellish planet in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
So,
supposing somebody is destined to the hellish planets,
do they have gross body to?
Do they have what?
Do they have body to?
Subtle.
How can subtle body experience all the?
Why not?
Pain?
Does your subtle body experience pain when you're dreaming? Do you experience happiness and pain and hunger and lust and everything else? It's in the subtle body. Now, here's a detail. That the whole, one of the purposes, one of the primary purposes of the hellish planets, aside from giving the living entity that made some bad choices the response of the effects to not make those bad choices again, it's also to prepare them to accept a lower form. Like Prabhupada explained, that the suffering is so terrible, they pray, Krishna, let me out of here. I'll take body of a worm. This is terrible. So it's a pit stop before one takes the body of a lower species, an animal, bird, fish, microbe, snake, a worm. And it's done on the subtle plane, it happens quickly. But the experience is it's a whole lifetime because the time moves differently, different cycles in the lower planets. Question is, do they have a gross body? Do they have a subtle body? And they experience everything like a bad dream. A tiger is attacking, and then the tiger attacks and eats you up in your dream. You scream. There's no tiger. Just a dream. The hellish planets are dream-like. Bad dream life.
Another question, Maharaj. What's the difference between Brahma's creation and the Prajapati's taking it forward?
They create other species. The Prajapatis create human population and other species. And he does the higher before the Prajapatis are manifest. Prajapatis are his direct sons. And the wives of Prajapatis are generated by him also. You know, like the nine daughters of Kardava Muni were entrusted to the Prajapatis. Are his sons. It's just an arrangement to. And then you read all that description, that's really far out. But just that, you know, it's a mystical system to bring into being varieties of living entities resuming where they left off.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dhanat Pranams. Thanks for your. It's like Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahajan.
Who?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Prahlad?
Yeah.
Is where?
He's a Mahajan.
He's a Mahajan. Okay, I thought you said he's in heaven.
So for
he's a Mahajan, yes.
So for him, like not doing those sadha karmas now because he's a super duper devotee, it's fine. But how about the normal people like me, for example.
Well, how about you?
What? Because especially in the Orthodox families, right? That the parents or someone, parents know that if this son is not going to do Shraddha Karma in the future, they get panic.
So they get what?
They get panic in the Orthodox family.
Panic.
Yeah.
That's your family situation? Your
yeah,
parents are
Radha
panicked
Radha
that you become Krishna Bhakta?
But the thing is, like, is it okay in, when offering them the
pinda?
Pinda, it's can offer Krishna Prasad.
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
sure. No problemo. Okay. Anything else? That's it. Another one.
Sorry, Madam.
Another question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there are yakshas and gandharvas also, right? So where do yakshas and gandharvas?
Yakshas. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And where do they reside, Maharaj?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Well, it said the yakshas. They're the only. I'd have to look. But there's a kingdom that's their capital. And that's where Dhruva goes. And it gives the name of the capital, but where it is doesn't say. But it's accessible by Dhruva, because they had killed his brother and he was going to take revenge. So where? Yeah.
Have some powers?
Subtle body have powers. Why not?
So, and if, why they have that kind of powers?
Why not?
And the normal gross body is not?
Well, the gross body is like a machine. Let's take an example of the power of locomotion. Supposing you don't have a car, you still have the power of locomotion. You walk. Supposing you don't have legs, do you have power of locomotion? Yes. You may, you know, get a wheelchair. But, you know, the power, it's because of the power of locomotion, whether the machine is there or not, when the machine is working or not, the power is there. And the machine, the body, is a machine. It's an instrument to carry out that power. So, yes, and why not? So like a subtle body, like a ghost. Do they have power? Yeah. They can make things move. Besides, you know, the horror movies and things like that. I saw an article in the New York Times. There are people that go and make photographs of, there's a certain place in Staten Island. It's known to be inhabited, and they have special cameras and take pictures, and they see stuff flying from one side of the room to the other side of the room because they're angry and they throw stuff. You know, haunted house. They take pictures. So they have power. Don't have a body. Frustrated. Angry. Mean. Yeah.
Maharaj, I'm trying to understand Prabhupada's instruction about Shraddha ceremony.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, or I've understood, that a person who's in fully Krishna conscious, they don't have to perform, but until you reach there, we should we?
I led off by saying I don't have the answer. It would make sense to me that there is a Vaishnava ritual for those of us that aren't perfectly realized, to serve Vishnu, because in the consciousness of serving Vishnu, that's what Vaishnavas do. We have rituals. that we're honoring Vishnu. So it would make sense that there is such a thing. And you offer pinda to the forefathers, and you can do it, you know, with a qualified priest, or go to Gaya. And it's what, you know, it would make sense that there is such a thing. There are non-Vaishnavas that do that, and they're not doing it for the satisfaction of Vishnu, and then they become entangled in the karma of that procedure, and they may go to Pitraloka because it's literally worship of the ancestors. But the Vaishnava picture is, by offering Vishnu prasad, Vishnu is pleased. They receive the benefit of, on their behalf, you're offering Vishnu prasad, not to Vishnu, you're offering it to them as a service to Vishnu. He's pleased. They get spiritual benefit. The entanglement that they have is relieved by that procedure. So it would make sense, but I'll research them, you know, tomorrow, hopefully.
Vishnu Maharaj, I have a question that's not really related to what we read today. So like each millennium, there's like a new Brahma,
yes,
who like creates. And in Bhagavatam it says like, Brahma, like when he gets angry at the Kumaras.
When he gets what?
Angry at the Kumaras for like not getting married and like reproducing.
Yeah.
He creates Shiva.
Yes.
So like, is there a new Shiva each millennium? Or like,
I don't know. I don't know. Shiva Tattva is very complicated, so I don't know. I could easily say yes or no, but I don't know. That's going to take a little more researching, because I don't know too many people would have the answer, an authoritative answer. It's easy to say yes or no. He's his own category, and it would make sense it's not a different Shiva, because jivas may take a post, and different jivas may take the post of Brahma. But there's not multiple Shivas. There's expansions of Shiva, Shiva Tattva, 11 Rudras and so forth, but they're just expansions of him. So it would make sense, but I don't know. I mean, by reason and logic, no. But authoritatively, I don't know.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I'm trying to understand. It's a clarification question. When we talk about the ghosts, we say...
Talk about which?
Ghosts.
Ghosts.
They die, like... The predestined time has not reached, so the next body is not ready.
Yes, they have to hang out in a subtle form until the next body time comes up.
Yeah, so that's where my confusion, Maharaj. Like, we have to follow the destined, like, I don't know if I'm right, my understanding. When we come itself, we have certain life period.
Yeah, arranged.
So what changes? Is it our free will choice and Krishna sanctions, okay, predestined, you can die if I want to commit suicide or something?
You said it real fast. I couldn't follow what you said.
I'm sorry, Maharaj.
Just the last part, not the whole thing.
So, is it the living entity's free will choice?
No.
When...
How many breaths you have, and... Prabhupada speaks about yogis, and they control their breath. And by controlling breath, they can live longer. But they only have so many breaths.
So what changes, what shortens the time frame of the living entity from their predestined to whatever unforeseen or sudden?
There's nothing. If one, you know, somebody is killed, or worse, somebody commits suicide, because being killed is the fruit of... not just, you know, shot with a gun, but, you know, some other kind of accidental death, car accident, and someone dies. You know, that's fruit of karma. So they're to move on to the next situation. By that event, the body is given up and the soul moves on to the next situation. But suicide isn't, it's self-inflicted. Does that answer your question?
My point particularly is we have to have Krishna's sanction, like the material nature has to say yes, and that has to link to the destiny. So my understanding is whether suicide or sudden death or shot by someone, that is also in the destiny. I don't know if that's right.
No, I tried to clarify. Supposing there's a car accident or somebody shot, that's karma. Now, can karma change? That is to say, you know, if I get my car, I'm just going to drive any old way because it's destiny, I'm going to get to my destination or not. Or I'll be very careful. So, be very careful. And, you know, it's recklessness that pervades, then, you know, That's karma too, you know, mode of ignorance behind a powerful machine like a car. It's different.
Well, I'm not clear fully about my question, but I've heard that I don't know where I heard also.
Well, this isn't a good start.
when a living entity goes to the hellish planets and suffers a lot, and then one thing is that they become so ready to take any kind of form.
Yes.
But the other thing, this is what I don't know whether I have heard correctly.
Okay.
That it also awakens compassion in them. Is that something?
I don't know. I never heard it, first of all. Mm-hmm. And why it would awaken compassion in them, I don't understand. Other than what Narada contemplates by giving Nalakovera Mani Griva the birth as trees is their pride will be curbed because they no longer have that opulence and special situation. So having, and Narada the purport says, one who has experienced a pinprick feels compassion for those that have undergone the pinprick. Or the step on a thorn, you feel compassion for those that step on thorns because you know the suffering of another. Maybe it's in that section. You can look. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.